Who is God? Even truth, you know. Yeah, this grace thing and so on. There's the confusion right now. So someone has to rise up and say and have clarity. Who are we? You know, fear. Fear of course, uncertainty. Unprecedented trouble. I mean, again, you go back to that gathering. I'm so surprised that there are many in between jobs. You know, my classmate. Yeah, maybe because we are all in our late 40s. All 50s lah. So those categories is a potential for retrenchment. Too expensive, too old. You know, and so on. And so many in between jobs. You know, and they are hard for them to get back because they are all earning big bucks. You know, Citibank and whatever, and so on. And so what are you doing? Well, in between jobs. You know, or some will use a more glorious term. I'm retired. Know, gloriously retired. Yeah. So fear, uncertainty, because unprecedented trouble is coming, storm. Third one, deception. Remember? Deception, truth crisis is hitting. Is anybody having clarity? Last one, offense. Offense. No, offense is going to be a big thing. Primarily because of the wrong paradigm of God. What God is like. What actually we never seriously think about one of the offenses that is going to hit us, you know what it is? Your idea of God's plan for you and his idea of his plan for you, when it doesn't square, you will be offended. That's like Romans 12:2. So that we do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we will agree and approve that his plan is good. No matter what, offense, offense. And Jesus has great compassion. And we need to have that as a voice. So if anything, we need to pray, it's not, so God, give us more grace. Or God, so that I love you more. No, we need to pray, Jesus, let me see and feel how you feel. What breaks your heart, please, breaks my heart. I mean, I'm waiting for a true trivial. That would be good. Just don't pray on the mic. Because the professional can't sing. Don't know what to sing. Unless they also sing trivial. We have to pray. What breaks his heart? Breaks our heart. What he sees, let us see. Because Jesus has great compassion. You know why he's great compassion? Because his people are lost, are scattered. He feels deeply, and we have to pray. You know, all of us are guilty. I am too. That sometimes we are more judgmental than we feel for the church. The Lord never gives up on his bride. They are not perfect, neither are we. He's going to straighten them out. He's going to clear up the mess. And our role is to agree with him and pray. We are called the voice, not critic. So we have to pray. We have to have compassion. Second is anguish. Take me to Jeremiah 23. You must read Jeremiah. It's one of the most important book right now. But Jeremiah 23 is like a reflection of how he feels. God feels. It's a real intense chapter. Because Jeremiah feels how God feels, and he takes on the emotions. I mean, that's intense. You know, I look at that and say, no, I mean, if you ask me to be a prophet, I pass. You ask me to be a voice, I pass. Because it's intense. If you go to verse chapter 20, you say, oh God, you deceive me. But you, the fire come, no, the word come like fire shut up in my bones. I got no choice. I have to say it. Sometimes I feel that way, you know. Yeah, I go to a dinner, also have to say something. Can I just quietly eat? I pay $80. Yeah, so yeah, I thought maybe after that they pay me food. I mean, hey, the food is quite good. Maybe our staff can go. No, I'm just kidding. No money. We fast. Okay. Yeah. Jeremiah 23. No, it's a very intense, important chapter. We must read. Chapter 1, chapter 3. I mean, read the whole chapter, but if you can't, read chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 9. Chapter 20, chapter 23, especially chapter 23, because that speaks about God's heart and how Jeremiah feels. You know, it's a must read and a must-known chapter for any forerunners. And the Lord rebuked the shepherds of... No, I want to be very careful. I'm not saying that every shepherd is bad. I'm just generalizing. But God needs a Jeremiah to rise up, because the truth of the matter is that there are actually very few people that are talking about the negatives. I look at, you know, some of the prophetic words on the net. Everything is going to be good, breakthrough and so on. I say, yeah, it's true. Right word. Wrong season. Not yet. Not yet. I rarely find, there are a couple, but I rarely find people say that storm is coming, crisis is coming. Prepare yourself. That's what the Lord is saying to Jeremiah 23, because all the prophets, you know, can be shepherds and so on, are saying that there's going to be peace. Everything's going to be okay. That's where God stood up very strongly to Jeremiah and said, why do you say that? You have not stood in my counsel to hear me. This is not what is going to happen. This is not what is going to happen. Let's go to verse 1. I'm going to run through a couple of verses, but that I'm going to read it on your own. Verse 1. Woe to the shepherds. Wow, strong words. Strong words. If you remember, two Fridays or three Fridays ago, we talked about one of the key, one of the things about being faithful as a shepherd is to feed the sheep in due season. Why the Lord is giving such a strong and intense words against the shepherds of Israel during those times? Because they are not feeding and preparing the sheep, and they are telling them not the word of the season. So the Lord started very strong. First word, woe to the shepherds. And I close the book. Let's wait for a while. No, some of this I take it personally, because, you know, a lot of time we read, we assume that we are Jeremiah. Maybe Jeremiah is talking to me. So I just close the book. Let me just wait a little while. Say, think, what am I doing? You know, am I saying a wrong thing or whatever? I think, to be the voice, we have to first ask ourselves, are we telling, or am I living the life and so on? So I close the book, just pause for a while. Yeah, then I walk and come back. Okay, now get open. Okay, let's go to verse 16. Verse 16 and 17. Because now the Lord is really rebuking the shepherds and the prophets of those times. It's in that context, God said in Jeremiah 3:15, I'm giving you shepherds according to my own heart. Because God is looking for some shepherds to arise. Their heart fashioned in accordance to the heart of God. It's in that context that God said, I'm giving you as a gift shepherds according to my own heart that will feed you. Because the sheep of Israel are not fed. Verse 16, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophet. They can be leaders, messengers, preachers, or whatever. Do not listen to the words of the prophet who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. That means they make them totally unprepared. You know, I like some of the prophecy, but if you say, everything will be fine, tomorrow sun is going to rise up, I also know. Make you totally unprepared. That's why in the context, make you worthless. You're not able to stand. They speak of a vision of their own heart. Wow. Their own message. Not from the mouth of the Lord. You know why? You go further, later we turn to it. Because they didn't stand in the counsel of the Lord to hear. Don't be in a hurry. Verse 17. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. True or false? Another few years, the Babylonian army is going to come. If you read slightly further, a few kings went to Jeremiah. You know what's the word that Jeremiah told the king? Don't resist, surrender. Surrender. So they put him into jail. That's where Jeremiah 30, 31, 32, 33. He was in the jail. Because the king went to ask him, so what's going to happen? Is it going to be peace? We fight against the Babylonians. He said, don't fight, you'll lose. Just surrender. So they say, no, we don't believe what your word. They throw him into the jail. That's why Jeremiah 33, verse 3, is in that context. Call to me, and I will answer you. Great and unsearchable thing that you do not understand. It's in that context. So continue to say to the Lord who despised me, the Lord said, you shall have peace, true or false? No. No, yes, it's always true. You always find peace if you are walking with the Lord. But that doesn't mean that everything around you will be, Chinese say, yi fang feng sun. Right word, wrong season. Right word, wrong application. That's why that make them worthless, because they are totally unprepared. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. They are not telling what is about to come. Probably they are not even aware. Worse, they are not confronting compromise. They are making people comfortable in sin. That's why people are disconnect to God. People are disconnect to what is about to happen. Huge disfavor. Our role as a voice and as a shepherd is to connect people to God's heart and connect people to what is about to happen. That's why we speak. Right word, right season. Right word, right application. It's tough. But we will speak, and the reward is like what John the Baptist, because I've heard your voice. My joy is complete. You must increase. You must. No, I, no he. You must increase and I must decrease. No, you must say the order right. Sometimes we sing, we must decrease. No, you cannot decrease unless he increase. There's no way. That's why he must increase first so that we will automatically decrease. Let's go to verse 21 and 22. Huge. Huge. Why they say the wrong thing? Because they are not standing in the counsel of God to hear. And they are in a hurry to speak. Don't be in a hurry. Don't worry whether you have a platform or no platform. If you have the word of God, people will want to talk to you. People will want to talk to you. Sometimes I get frustrated when people come, do I have a role? Do I have this? Do I can't do it? So why worry if you have the word of God? Even this place does not appreciate you, no one to let you speak. You will have a place. If God is the one to raise up the platform for you, he will raise you so high to the mountain to shout. No one can cover and stop you. The key is we stand in the counsel of God faithfully. The word will come. It's same for musician or whatever. Why worry? God is going to give you a song. When you sing the song, people begin to strike by the word, like Jeremiah, fire shut out in your bosom. Say, what is that? Maybe we invite you to One Thing Conference next year. Why worry? The great worry is we don't take enough time to stand in the counsel of God to hear. Not whether you got platform or no platform. I'm not worried about platform. In fact, I don't want platform. If I have a choice, I'm comfortable just doing the one thing. Love Jesus. Good enough. That is the key. Then turn me to Jeremiah 21, 22. Let's read. 21, 22. I'm not asking you to be casual. But don't run ahead of God. Never. Say this. Verse 21. I have not sent this prophet, yet they have. Yet they ran. They went ahead and they speak. They speak. And God rebuked them in verse 22. But if they have stood in my counsel and have caused my people to hear my word. Great need of the hour. That's why we talk about be a house of the wise and watchful. Wise and watchful. Let's go to verse 18. It's an important invitation. You know, God spoke to, I don't know, When did I say that? Probably last Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, let's read verse 18 first. For who has stood in my counsel? Who have stood in the counsel of the Lord? Have we? We have to. I'm not saying necessarily just come to the house. That's one of the avenue. But in your own accord, we have to stand in the counsel of the Lord. If you stand in the counsel of the Lord, this is what God promised, and have perceived and heard His word. If you stand in His counsel and wait and watch, the word is going to come. You're going to understand. You're going to hear. And the word will mark your heart. If you go to verse 20, what does the Lord promise? In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. Great need of the hour. God needs people who understand perfectly, that we speak with clarity. The people of God need people of courage, yet have understanding to speak, so that we warn about September 23rd. Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I can't believe it. Yeah. We have to stand and hear. This is what God promised us. You know, I share it over the mic. You know. So as for us to pay attention, I mean, this is very, very clear to me while the prayer session. I don't know whether it's Saturday or Sunday. I think I say it. This is what he said in the context of Jeremiah 23, verse 18. That's how we came up and prayed that. If you will engage your heart with me, I promise that I will mark your heart with my word and you will understand. Every time you come to this house or on your own, don't go through motion. Engage your heart. Engage your heart. God promised He's going to mark our heart with His word and with understanding. It's for everybody who take it. For everybody. Okay. So that's one of the emotions of Jesus is because the shepherd is not really saying, and he need a shepherd. That's the third emotions. The first one is compassion. Second is anguish. Third one is the Lord is broken and zealous because he see the condition of his sheep and he wants to do something. So his voice is, where is the laborer? Where is the voice? Where is the true shepherd? And verse 37, he say this, the harvest truly is plentiful. The laborers are few. The real issue is not open doors. The real issue, we have to pray for more voices to rise up. We have to make ourselves ready. That's why in verse 38, he said this. I'm going fast. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. That's the key prayer. Raise up the voices. Raised up the voices. Not just some male men, but people who feel. You know how intense is Jeremiah? Let's go to verse 9 and 10 now. I read and say, man, I don't like that feeling. Because Jeremiah was heartbroken. He was intense. Verse 9 said this. Verse 9. My heart within me is broken. Wow. No, I never like this kind of feeling. You know, I only have a couple of experience with trivial, you know, not those cake one lah. Really, you know, the Spirit of the Lord came and you trivial. Like, oh, I don't like it. I won't use the word hates it lah. I just don't like it. No, I mean, so I look at Jeremiah, you know, I say, I understand sometime, not a lot. Okay, verse 9. My heart within me is broken. All my bones shake. I mean, this is a few times already. You know, you go to verse chapter 20, so fire shall out my bones. I just had to speak. You know, we all pray for that. You know? We think it's a, oh man, you know, very cool. When it comes, you're not going to like it. The worst is that, you know why fire shot out in your bones and you feel that you don't feel like saying it, say it? It's God forcing you to say it in situation. I felt a little bit on Wednesday. Like, now I say fire shot out in my bones. Like, maybe I had a little bit more wine. No, I wasn't drunk, no. But I'm saying that, yes, because he was intense. My heart within me is broken. My bones shake. I'm like a drunken man. I'm a man who, like a man who wine has overcome. Why? In verse 9, in verse 10, he gives three reasons. And these are some things that we have to pray for ourselves. We have to feel it, and we must have zeal against it or for it and so on. And that's where you arise as a true shepherd like Jeremiah. Okay, three reasons. The first one in verse 9. The first reason, because of the prophets. False prophets, false shepherds, false teachers, false leader. That he's intense about it. Not because no, it's nothing personal. We must never get personal. He's intense about it, and he feels lots of zeal about it because he sees the people of God being led astray. We have to feel when we see the people of God being led astray. That prompts us to come to the mic and pray. That prompts us to... The three prophetic singers, you know, just sing some language, but that prompts you to sing. You know, that's what prophetic spirit is about. You are receiving the very heart of God. You are intense about it. So the first reason, because of the prophets. False message. Second, God. He feels God's burden. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Verse 9. Because of the Lord. Because of the Lord. Jeremiah has... You know, one of the hard things about prophet is prophet feels a lot for God. Now, if you look at a lot of prophets, they are a little bit depressed. So every time people say, yeah, no, you want to be a prophet? I say, I pass. You know, I say, what do you want? No, apostle you don't want, prophet you don't want. I say, yeah, I don't want. I just want to love God. You know, that's it. Yeah, that's easy. Yeah. So because of the Lord, because Jeremiah cares about how God feels, that's what it means to be the friends of the bridegroom. Stands and hear his voice. Third one. Verse 9 too. Because of God's holy word. Because of his holy word. He cares about upholding the word of God. Of course, we have to always have the balance. We need to show grace and mercy. Turn me to Jeremiah 3:15. I'm going to end with this quickly. Jeremiah 3:15. God needs a voice. God needs a friend. He's looking for a shepherd. It's in the context of all this that there's this great prophecy about Jeremiah 3:15. One like David, he's looking for a shepherd. More than a voice, more than the messenger, but someone who cares. You know? Tell me the John 10. It's a very powerful chapter about what it means to be a shepherd. You know, I'm so thankful that, you know, when I became a pastor, that someone told me about this chapter and shared with me about this chapter that kind of like totally changed my understanding. It's not about ministry, you know. Because John 10, verse 10 to 7, no, we all need to read it. More than just read it, we need to ask the Lord to put that DNA into our heart. The John 10 shepherd. Of course, if it's referring to Jesus, but it's the same. Jesus wanted to raise up that John 10 shepherd whose desire is to build up, whose concern is for the body of Christ, that they will not run away. Even in the midst of the challenge, they will run for and they will run to. They are not just some voice that will criticize. But they are the voice, the messenger that cares and build up. You know, like what I say, not some rebel that will rock the boat until the boat capsizes. But it's that voice that seeks to build the Noah's Ark. That's what it means. Okay, let's read. Jeremiah 3, verse 12. We'll come back to John 10. Jeremiah 3, verse 12. Because you must read chapter 12. You must read verse 12, verse 14, verse 15. Verse 12 and verse 14 before you read verse 15 because it's in that context that God is raising up. Or he say, I'm giving this true shepherd as the gift. Let's read verse 12. Verse 12. Return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever, because God is merciful. He is gracious. He does not, and he will never give up on the church, no matter how weak she is. And that includes us. No matter how immature, how bad in shape, no, we are not any better. So as a voice, we must understand this so that we will love the church, we will pray for the church, so that we will speak not to criticize, we will build up not to tear down. We are, you know what's our role? I always say this, our role is to prepare the church, not to replace the church. The moment you have that, you are wrong. That's why when I go to China, I go to many places, I tell people, my goal is to work myself out of my job. If I work myself out of my job, that means I have succeeded. So my goal, our goal as a house of prayer, as a forerunner, as a voice, is to prepare, not to replace. I mean, imagine if the whole body of Christ in Singapore, all 24/7, we become irrelevant. Either we join the church or we declare ourselves. Now we are a church too. Everybody is a house of prayer. That is the key. Not to criticize, but to speak. Not to tear down, but to build up. Not to replace, but to prepare. That's why in the earlier years, don't mention name. They say, Kei Chong, you start this because you don't agree with the church. I say, no. That's never my intention. That's not the reason why we start this. Okay, let's go to verse 14. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I'm married to you. God will never divorce his church. I'm married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family. I will bring you back. I will bring you back. He's going to restore. That's why God is raising up shepherds according to his own heart as a gift. Let's read verse 15. What a verse. I know I read this, I get excited because I see my name. You can put your name on it too. I will give you Joshua according to my own heart. I'll give you Cynthia according to my own heart. I give you Annabelle. I give you Kok Leong. I give you whatever. I'm excited. What a promise. What a verse. I'm excited. Not fully, but I can see that I'm living in that verse. I'm a gift. Hopefully not other people say I'm a pain. I'm a gift. You and I can put names on this verse. You know? I put on top of Jeremiah 3:15 here, Kei Chong. You know? Yeah, hopefully no one take this Bible and say, someone may just write over, take skin. You know, hope that God will shout from heaven. No, it's true. Okay, let's read. What a powerful promise. I will give you shepherds. You know, you can underline, circle the whole verse. I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Promise the kind of people, what they will do. Wow. I will give you. God promise it's going to be a gift. I'm going to do it. They will be a gift and a blessing. No, this promise is not just for some young people. I signed up a long time ago. Not just for full-time ministries, for every arena. God needs a shepherd. God needs a voice. That's what I've been telling you over the last few weeks. That no. Ask God, what should I say? You know, start a blog, write a Facebook page or whatever. Be a voice. Ask God for ideas. We do know enough. Wherever you are, marketplace and so on, we do know enough. It's an issue of we need to ask for wisdom. How do we say it? You can talk to the homemaker, the mothers. You can talk to the students. You can talk to officers everywhere. You are shepherds there. Not just in this small little pulpit. Everybody's trying to squeeze in and find some time to say something. And say, Kei Chong, why are you holding? It's time for you to get off the stage. I also want. But the key is, in every arena, God is going to raise up shepherds, whether you are pastors, worship leaders, students, singers, marketplace people, homemaker, whatever, kids too. You are as God is raising it. That's why I say, put your name on it. I will give you, is the promise of God. It's a gift. But more than just a messenger. God didn't say, I will give you a voice. I'll give you a messenger. I'll give you a postman. No, he said, I will give you a shepherd. Because God is not just raising up some mailman. Simply deliver a message. So there's a lot of stick, you know. Everywhere I go, somehow my heart become emotionally tied to it. That's what I don't like, you know. Everywhere I go, Taiwan, I feel like I'm moving there. Go this place, feel like I'm moving there. Then go to this church camp, I become my family. And then every time I'll have to say, I'm committed to you. I pray for you, Lord. My prayer list is getting longer and longer. Yeah. No, it's true. This is not. I really feel for them. After a while, it's like there's a relationship. So I say, after Chinese New Year, can we talk to you? I say, sure. No. Yeah. I say, yeah. No. Every time, next time, don't promise too much. You know. But this kind of thing cannot help it, because it's a relationship thing. Because God is not just raising up some mailman, shepherd. Shepherd. That's why I always tell, you know, yesterday I was talking to, not yesterday, 2 days ago, there's this guy, my schoolmate too. He started a ministry. He's also a kind of, some sort of boy. So I told him very honestly, Hanson, let's meet up. But I'm not interested in networking. I'm interested in relationship. Say, yes, we will do it. Yeah, so this is a lot of stick, because God is raising up a voice who has a shepherd's heart, who has that apostolic jealousy like Paul. Deep compassion. Say, this is not good. Go and read John 10. I don't have time to turn to it. Read John 10. Jesus talked about two kinds of shepherds. One is a hiring hand. One is a good shepherd. Hiring hand is basically they do it because of money or whatever reason. The moment challenges come, they will quit. They will quit. The Lord is looking for shepherd. I'm not saying I am. I try. When challenge come, they don't run away. They run into. Good shepherd that they were. Jesus said, a good shepherd lay down his life for the sheep. But the hiring hand, when the wolves come, they scram. Because they're just an employer. Right, talk to Joel, he tell you it's a pain, you know, because he owns his own business. He cannot just close shop. Yeah. So I always tell people, when I start a business, think about it. Because you when you take ownership, it's totally different. That's where it has a voice as a shepherd calling to go out. You have to take ownership of the people's heart. And that's tough. No, that's tough. No. Yeah. And after a while it's so many, you know. Yeah, no. Yeah. So, apostolic jealousy. That's the key thing. Let's read further. More than just a shepherd. It's a shepherd according to my own heart. Like David. God is raising up someone by David. But this verse actually more than just David. No, God is raising up. No, I love this. Their hearts are fashioned in accordance to God's heart. They are like the replicate. And the expressions of God's heart. They understand. More than just understand. You know, being the voice, that means you are expressing the very heart of God. If you go a few chapters back, Jeremiah 9, you know, it's like Jeremiah 9, 24 people. They know and understand God. That's why they are shepherds according to God's heart. They are fashioned. In accordance to God, I say, God, do it. I want my heart to be fashioned like yours so that I'm your replicate. No, I'm not saying I'll be God. But I know his heart. I can express his heart. That I can speak. And as a result, they feed, they teach, they equip, they empower. That's why the promise is what? They will feed with knowledge and understanding. God needs a shepherd. Will you say yes and make ourselves ready? We are living in serious time. I'm going to end with this. We're going to end with this song. I mean, Faith and Annabelle about the second coming. Let's sing together, because one of my prayer is really, next week I'm going to enter into fast again, that I'm really going to pray for the church to awaken to the second coming, that we will pray for come Lord Jesus. But that's a promise that God gives to me last year. I share a couple of times. Now I'm humble, but I say yes. And one day I was just pacing here. That's why I come out of this four series. It's not kind of like yeah, what do I say? God put in my heart. One of it is about being a friend of the bridegroom. This is the first session, the sure mercy of David. The second one is being a house of wise and watchful. The third one is the testimony of Jesus. This one is being the friends of the bridegroom. This is what God spoke to me. I'm humble. I'm not saying we are. But it's an invitation. Everything is an invitation. It's for whoever who wants it. Go for it. I'm going for it. You know? This is what God say. It's like, I'm humble. Please be humble. Okay. And then be humble. Okay. That's what the Lord say. I don't know why. What song? I can't remember. It's probably in October or November. There will come a time people will be looking for the friends of the bridegroom. They will find them in this house. I say, wow. I say, yes. God, I say, yes. Because who am I? Who are we? We say, yes.
We will watch. We will pray. We will wait for that day. Lamps are lit. All is stored. Hearts are burning. Bridegroom Lord, we will watch. We will pray. We will wait for that day. Lamps are lit. All is stored. Hearts are burning. Bridegroom Lord. We will pray, we will wait.
say yes.
We say yes.
Empower our heart with grace.
To be the shepherds after your heart. We say yes.
Fashion our heart in accordance to your heart. What you are thinking, what you are feeling,
yes.
What you desire to do.
We say yes.
We will lean to hear your heart.
To be
we will stand
voice.
In your counsel to hear.
We say yes.
Let your word mark our heart.
To be your friend.
That we may perceive and understand. Yes, Jesus.
We say yes.
We are the friends of the bridegroom.
We say yes.
We will stand and hear your voice.
We say yes.
Mark our heart, God.
We say yes. We say yes. We will watch. We will pray.
Let's just sing. Let's ask the Lord to mark your heart.
All is stored, hearts are burning. Bridegroom Lord, we will watch. We will pray. We will wait for that day. Lamps are lit. All is stored, hearts are burning. Bridegroom Lord, as we will watch.
Why don't you just get into groups of 2 and 3 and take some time to pray for ourselves, you know, that all that we have heard over the last few Fridays, even especially today. Let's say yes to the invitation of God. I mean, of course, no one can force anyone. Just pray for one another. Why don't you just turn to 2 or 3, take as much time as you want to. It's a Kairos time, Kairos hour. We don't want to be in a hurry. Who are we? That God give us that invitations. So let's pray one another. Take some time. Even get your children around and pray. And God is able to do supernatural things. A lot of things that we don't understand. We have not figured it out. But He can. He will. He shall. So let's take as much time as you can.